Hi there, and welcome to the Lifestyle Accountant Show. I'm your host, Meryl Johnston, and this podcast exists to help today's accounting firm owners build successful firms while also living a happy, healthy life without sacrificing sleep, your weekends, or time with loved ones. On today's episode, we're exploring the hybrid versus 100% remote work models for accounting firms.
The hybrid model has just layers of complexity to it. We absolutely know we need to have more and more people that are working remotely. There is no doubt in my mind that the percentage will be going towards more remote working rather than in-office working. So we have to find a way to make that work and still deliver on the culture and connection and collaboration.
That's our guest for today, John Knight, who is the Managing Director of Business Depot. John originally became an equity partner in an accounting practice before realizing he wanted something different for his future. He founded Business Depot with the goal of being able to provide a central hub that could offer more than accounting and bookkeeping services. And now Business Depot has legal, marketing, HR, business broking, and financial planning services available. They've got offices in Brisbane and in Sydney and are continuing to expand around Australia. Before recording this episode, I was reflecting on where I'd met John, and it was actually many years ago as part of XPAC, Xero's Partner Advisory Council. But I got to know John better when he began hosting lunches within the accounting and bookkeeping industry. And a particular lunch I remember, the topic was mergers and acquisitions, and he had his head of legal from Business Depot there leading the conversation. There are a range of accountants and bookkeepers in the room and some others from different industries too. We sat down to beautiful three-course lunch and some networking and also talking about that particular topic. Fortuitously, that was where I met Tracy Newman for the first time. Tracy eventually became a business partner of mine at Big Ninjas. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you'll recall that she recorded an episode on burnout. So thank you, John, for facilitating that. And I really appreciate what you do for the industry and putting together things like those lunches. All right, let's get down to business. Today, we're talking hybrid versus remote work, the pros and cons of each, whether having set hours results in happier, more productive staff or providing more flexibility around work hours, what kind of environment results in the best problem solving and innovation, what kind of environment results in deep work for team members, how to facilitate connection, the best way to train new graduates and onboard new team members in this hybrid and remote work models. And then what can hybrid work, what can that environment learn from the world of 100% remote and vice versa? All that and more coming right up on the Lifestyle Accountant Show. This podcast is brought to you by Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider, and A2X Automated E-commerce Accounting. I'll be sharing more about my experience with these products later in the show. Hey, John, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Meryl. Thanks for having me.
The topic for today is all about remote work and comparing that with hybrid work. So if we have Business Depot on the hybrid side, I know you've got a really strong in-office culture, but you also have flexibility for your team. So if you represent that side, and I'll talk on the remote work side, let's start with what do you say is some of the pros of hybrid work, and then we'll jump into some of the cons.
Yeah, and I suppose to give a little bit of the context to our hybrid workforce here, we have about 100 people overall within the Business Depot group. So we have some people that work in Sydney, we have some people that work out of Brisbane, we then have some people overseas, we have some people that work remotely within Australia. And so I suppose one of the pros of a hybrid workforce in my mind is just the flexibility that it offers our team members as their lives change. So I don't know, when someone has a baby and they want to work from home, you know, for a period of time, or if someone has some other significant event in their life, for example, maybe they need to move cities because of their spouse or something like that. I love the flexibility that we can go, well, that's not a problem. We can deal with that. I do think the hybrid work arrangements can be good for attracting staff as well, but I'd imagine that to be on your pros of the 100% remote side of things as well, and that better work-life balance, something we all strive for, not necessarily all good at, but something we all strive for. And I do think the hybrid workforce does increase those opportunities for the face-to-face times. Now, I enjoy the face-to-face times. Not everybody needs to have as much of it as I do, given my personality type. But I do think by having a hybrid workforce and having some in-office time, you increase the opportunities for that collaboration, the face-to-face collaboration, but you also can increase the opportunities for that deep thinking time as well.
Great. I've got questions for you on that, but I'll follow up with some of my thoughts on
the advantages. I'd be disappointed if you didn't have some questions on that, Meryl.
Yeah. And you were right. So when I'm thinking about remote work, I think some of the advantages are increased flexibility, cutting out things like the commute, so there's more time to spend on things outside of work, access to a global talent pool. If you've got the infrastructure for remote work, then it means that you can hire people anywhere as long as you're legally compliant. And I think particularly it's great for parents of young children. And it means that you can get along to school assemblies or music concerts or things during the day that typically maybe 10, 15 years ago, when I think back to when I was working in an office and an accounting firm, it would have been hard to get along to those events unless you were a partner or very senior in the firm. So next, let's talk about some of the disadvantages and then I'll dive into my questions for you. So what would you say are some of the disadvantages of the hybrid model?
Yeah, look, the hybrid model has just layers of complexity to it in my world. And we have not nailed this in any way, shape or form, so may not even be the best example. But the complexities we see around collaboration and communication, for example, you know, scheduling face-to-face meetings, if that's what we're deciding to do, I think there's no doubt it would be easier to have 100% in or 100% out as to how you go about the collaboration and the communication piece. Access and cost, I think there is difficulty in ensuring equal access to resources and opportunities. I mean, people that are in office just naturally get some things that are more advantageous for them than the people that are working remotely. So it might be office space, or it might be got to have two sets of screens at home and at work sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the big things we did during COVID, just bought everybody two screens to take home as well. And then I do think there's just the technical challenges, ensuring the seamless communication and collaboration for remote workers. And part of that's probably specific for us because we have what we describe as human brand or culture. And so to deliver that human experience and human communication becomes difficult. And probably the prime example there is like when we have our team musters where we get everybody together, we don't want to discount the experience of the people that are in the office, but we also want to make sure that the people out of the office have an experience, let alone scheduling them, because everyone works so many different sort of times. So I think that's probably more of a technical challenge in how we deliver on the complexity of communication.
How do you do that when you're doing a team muster where you want to have that great in-office experience, but then you've got people who are dialing in remotely?
Well, we actually have just invested some real dollars into like a team sort of space. So we've renovated our kitchen to create more of a team forums or town hall sort of space. We've just been using Zoom at the moment. We've got the laptop, which I'm talking into and talking to the people. Then we have another laptop and then we have the people on the screen behind us. We just can't have enough cameras, enough microphones and enough TVs, but we're still investing in that. We've still got some different things we're exploring to make it better.
Yeah. And when you mentioned there are sometimes more opportunities for people in the office, and you mentioned some of the things like resources, do you think it would impact things like promotion opportunities and career advancement too? I've heard some people mention that if you're in the office and networking, sometimes it's easier to fast track your career. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't necessarily think that should be a problem. I don't know whether it is a problem. If you have structured with the remote workers, I find you need to have more structured communication. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's more formal communication. So we have 90-day check-ins with everybody, whether they work in the office or they work out of the office. And so therefore, we need to be creating those opportunities for those discussions where someone says, oh, this isn't working for me, or how about a promotion? That shouldn't be any different, but I can accept that the water cooler conversations mm-hmm. are lost. And the water cooler conversations when someone's looking a bit down or not as enjoying themselves today, and someone could go, what's up, mate? You know, I think you do miss that when you've got people working 100% remote.
Yeah.
But what do you see as the cons of your 100% remote working, Meryl?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely harder to train and mentor young accountants. And so that's meant that we only generally hire more senior staff that have got 5 years' experience or more, But I don't necessarily think that's great for the industry if everyone's trying to hire senior level staff who's investing in that training. So I think that's actually a bit of a risk for the industry if we're not bringing on board graduates and doing that kind of training. I'd say team culture is harder to build remotely as well. We definitely put effort into doing that at Big Ninjas and having Zoom parties and trying to meet up face to face when we can. But as you said, you don't have those just impromptu meetings in the kitchen or walking to the station together. So I think it definitely makes it harder. It's doable, but not as easy. And then I think I've found that some team members can find it harder to switch off from work. So if you're in the office and you leave for the day, then you can start thinking about something else. But I've noticed that some team members will, after dinner, go back and check some more email or log into Slack, and that can lead to burnout if that's not addressed, or some more boundaries between work and then home life aren't put into place.
Well, not everybody has the perfect setup to work from home either, do they? Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you think about during the COVID times, some people were set up on the kitchen table of an apartment that they shared with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it's not healthy to be eating at the same place that you're working. And so, yeah, that's going to be part of it, isn't it?
It is. I think it really helps if you do have a separate room where you can go in and even put different clothes on, put work clothes on, go into that room, that's work mode, and then switch over to home mode. I actually do work remotely, but not from home. So I've got an office that's about 15 minutes from home. And I really enjoy that, actually going to the office, it's work mode, and then get home and have that 15 minutes of the drive to get out of work mode and then trying to get into family mode.
Is that why you have an office to go to? Just for that routine and that segregation for yourself?
It was mainly when I had kids. So prior to kids, I used to just have a home office, but I've got two young kids, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they're in daycare only 2 days a week, both of them. So it's just too distracting at home. There's noise, there's crying. So it's better. I work quite short hours. So I'm normally home by about 3:34 most days. But I just get a lot more done, get out of the house, get the work done, and then get home.
And so have you ever had, because you're Gold Coast based, correct me if I'm wrong, have you ever had other workers that are in the Gold Coast as well that share some co-working space or something?
Yeah. So the office that I'm in actually does have so it's actually a converted house. So I mean, my office is a bedroom in a house, but the living space we turned into co-working by putting benches all the way around the living area. So there's room for about 10 people here. And so at different stages, I've had 2 or 3 team members working here with me. And I like that, but I still liked having my office so that if I needed to have a private conversation or I wanted to focus on something, that I could do that without interruption. But the office is above a brewery. So people always made an effort to come in on Fridays. We had a Friday afternoon drink, finish at 2. And yeah, really, I enjoyed that and I do miss that.
Well, it'd be wrong if you didn't, wouldn't it?
So I'd like to dig in a bit more about what hybrid actually means, because it sounds like it's fairly flexible. So I was maybe expecting that there might be, so I know some firms, they have certain days. So hybrid for some people is, well, you can work remotely on some days, but you have to come into the office at least 3 days a week and there's still set work hours. So could you describe a bit more, what does that look like for, say, a new team member joining Business Depot?
Merrill, it is all over the shop at the moment for us, okay? We have some people that work 100% in the office. We have some people who work some days at home and some days in the office, and there is no one day that everybody is in the office. Some people work 100% remote, especially offshore resources overseas. People still need to apply for flexibility, so we probably have a standard set hours. Yeah. So if you want flexibility, they just fill out a form. I don't think we've ever said no to anyone, to be honest, Merrill. Don't tell my team, but I don't think we've ever said no. But we pretty much get people to set out why they would like flexibility. And their manager then either approves that or not. We recently trialed Walladays, being a working holiday, mm-hmm. where someone goes overseas for a holiday, but they work set hours while they're over there. We learned some lessons from that.
Oh, please share.
We learned some lessons from that. I really loved the concept of it, but there were some problems with it. It was a manager role, And so the time zones of where they were traveling just meant they couldn't, or they found it really difficult to mentor the younger team members that were under their responsibility. We then have onshore bookkeepers. We have offshore bookkeepers. We have some people have set days working from home at different hours just to fit in their lives. So from a hybrid working environment, we're probably not that efficient in pulling it all together because we've just fitted in with everybody else at the moment. And one of the observations I would make, though, is like for our bookkeepers, for example, our onshore bookkeepers, they have one day a week that they're all in the office. What I notice around the office is that these people that work remotely, when they are in the office, they're all in the office at the same time because they all want to socialize and collaborate and spend some time together, and they're hungry for a bit of interaction, I suppose. And so the office goes through these waves of extreme chaos to almost like ghost town, which I really struggle with the ghost town more than the extreme chaos, but that's probably more of a reflection of my personality in that when it's really quiet around the place and I don't feel the energy, I really struggle with that. So hybrid for us is pretty much a bit of everything.
Yeah. That sounds very flexible and much more flexible than I remember from years ago. So if someone's in the office, do they have set work hours? So if someone is coming into the office, do they have to be there by 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.? And is there an expectation that people hang around till 5? Let me give you a bit of context. So back in my BDO days, when I was there as a graduate, I was in audit. So it was busy season and then quiet season. Sometimes you would have zero work. You've done nothing all day. Maybe you've done your CA study. You'd still hang around and you'd still be there till 5:30 for the impression or the bad impression it would create if you left before that, even though you had no work to do.
Needed to be seen to still
yes,
be there.
That was 15 years ago, but interested to hear your perspective on office hours.
Yeah, well, again, people can apply to work different office hours. We have standard hours. Our standard hours are 8:30 to 5. So if people want to work a different set of hours, then they just apply for that. We have people who start at 7:30 and leave at 4. We have people that start later and maybe either has negotiated a shorter hour day or they'll work a little bit later. So, yeah, we never have been a culture where we want people to be seen or to feel like they have to be seen to be at their desk at a certain point in time. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say if people just get the job done, everybody's happy. But there are people who take advantage of it. And I find it really disappointing that someone negotiates a 7:30 start time, but they get into the office at 7:30, then they walk outside with their mates to go get a coffee because their other mates have arrived at 7:30 already. Now, that tarnishes the benefits of the flexibility. No boss wants to be watching the clock. But when you see that same person doing it over and over again, frankly, it starts to piss you off a fair bit because people are taking advantage. And if those people get away with it, then other people start to take advantage as well. So it is one of the complexities of the flexible arrangement. No one really knows who's doing what hours at any particular point in time.
This podcast is brought to you by A2X, Automated E-Commerce Accounting. I'm the founder of BNinjas, which is a specialist e-commerce accounting firm working with brands in Australia, the US and UK. We've tested all of the e-commerce accounting tools out there, and A2X is a core part of our tech stack. I'm going to share an example of how we use A2X with one of our clients. This particular client sells swimwear, which they manufacture in Asia and sell in the US. Their sales channels are Amazon and Shopify, and they had a recent challenge where they were trying to get accurate financials for a loan and were struggling with this. When they moved over to BNinjas, they wanted accrual accounting, but previously their prior accountants had only done cash accounting. And because of that, it was difficult for them to show an accurate gross profit and net profit figure when they were presenting their financials to get the loan. This was mainly because of the lumpy stock purchases. Moving over to A2X and using the cost of goods functionality meant they could move to accrual accounting. We could then help them prepare their financials faster, and ultimately they were successful in securing a loan. So if you're an accountant with a client on Shopify or Amazon, then make sure to check out A2X to automate some of the accounting work. Now let's hear from one of our sponsors, Anitra, Australia's leading e-signature provider. I've used a range of different e-signature solutions over the years, At one point, we had three or four different DocuSign accounts floating around at BeNinjas, which had been set up by different team members. Sometimes we had a bunch of documents that needed signing, and at other times we didn't. And as an accountant, it annoys me to pay for something that we weren't always using. When I heard that Anitra had simple pay-as-you-go pricing and they understood the accounting industry, I had to check it out. It was super easy to set up an account and send out my first agreement for signing. Bonus, it meets the identity verification standards of the ATO and Tax Practitioners Board. So next time you are looking into an e-signature solution, give Anitra a go. Something you mentioned a bit earlier in the conversation was around deep work and solving hard problems, and how when people are in the office, there's that energy and you can, I think you described it as deep work. So do you think it's better for things like problem solving and innovation to be in that in-office environment?
I think it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. So what is the problem that's being solved and how are you most likely going to be able to solve it? So, you know, one of our values is collaborate to innovate. Obviously, it's all about continuous improvement, pick the person who's got the expert skills, bring them into the discussion. And because we're multidisciplinary, we can bring a lawyer into the discussion or a HR person into the discussion. But some people, depending on their task, for example, let's say there's a complex tax problem. Jackie, who heads up our tax division, she might be better having a day at home and just going deep in that tax problem. Whereas a lot of the problems that I have to solve, which tend to be more strategic, I'm probably better off doing that in a collaborative environment where I'm getting different people into the one room to talk about it. So I think it depends on the task and it depends on the person as to what suits their way of problem solving as well.
That is a great answer. So I agree as well that a lot of things depend on the people in the environment. And so I'm one of these people that prefers to brainstorm individually and then collaborate. So, and I noticed this because my business partner is quite different. So he would like to be, for us in a room together, him on the whiteboard, us talking it out.
That's me.
And he's great. He excels at that. Whereas I would prefer to go, maybe a bit like Jackie, go away and think about it, write it out, have some time to go for a walk or think on it overnight, write out my thoughts, do a Loom video, and then have someone reply back to me. And then it can take some time to think about it and think it through and not on the spot have to come up with an answer. So,
And that's where the personality profiling sort of work that we do just becomes even more important in these flexible arrangements and these hybrid working environments, because not everybody's going to suit sitting at home on their own. If mm-hmm. they are a big, high extrovert, probably high F, probably doesn't like logical sort of thinking, they're more big picture thinking, they're probably not going to thrive mm-hmm. permanently in a remote working environment.
Yeah, you're right. And so doing things like the personality profiling and being aware of that, if you're setting up, and that's something I think about when I'm working with Wayne, but other team members, well, my style might work for me, but it's not always going to work for other people. So how to manage that. And I think related to problem solving is, I think deep work is a component of that, but deep work is also just getting in that flow state. For a lot of people, being interrupted can then impact that state of flow. So if you're focused, I think the research says it takes something like 15 to 20 minutes to get back into, if you're trying to solve a hard problem or deep work.
And I'm likely to be the interrupter because of my personality type, that I'm looking to get my energy from other people. Mm-hmm. I'm likely to be interrupting those deep thinkers. And so, you know, even in the office, we have a few quiet rooms where people can go and lock themselves away if they mm-hmm. need to do a bit of deep thinking to allow for that.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you manage that. You know, I've been to your office before, but it sounds like it's changed a little bit since I was there. Is it mostly open plan with some rooms like that?
Nobody has an office with a door on it. Mm-hmm. So we've got some, we call them pods, which have no ceiling. They've got some plaster walls around them, but they're mm-hmm. not completely closed in. That's the closest thing we have to an office. But we do have our meeting rooms, obviously, which can be booked and used for deep thinking. And we have what we call the quiet room, which is if somebody needs to really lock themselves away and dive into some legislation or whatever it is that's going on. So directors are in exactly the same position as everybody else. And sometimes you have to tell people to just tone it down a little bit in an open environment because they can get a little bit excited.
And what do you do if you had a sensitive conversation? So say there was an HR issue or someone wasn't performing. Where do you go to do that, or how do you handle that?
We either go out onto the deck for a casual conversation or we go into one of the meeting rooms to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was one of the things with the open plan design of the office is that you just need more meeting spaces. Mm-hmm. You need more meeting room spaces. And then we needed the bigger town hall style space, which is why we recently spent a few bucks on renovating the kitchen to get that as well.
Yeah. And so if we jump into team culture and relationships, have you noticed any difference in the relationships that form between those staff that are in the office and those that are mostly remote? And a related question, where would you say the relationships are being built?
I'll probably answer this in two parts. Historically, we probably relied on those water cooler conversations and events. We always did a lot of events in the early days in the Brisbane office of Business Depot. And we used those events not only as an opportunity for marketing to our clients, but it was also an opportunity for our team to connect with our clients and with each other. So that and the water cooler conversations was probably critical to how relationships were originally formed. We now still, as I said before, we call them our team musters, where we get everybody together. We try to get everybody together, depending on who's in the office and who's out of the office, and hence the challenges we have with aligning the remote workers with the in-office workers. We still rely on those, I suppose, to communicate key strategic initiatives and those types of things. But remote workers undoubtedly connect differently in my mind. And I would say their communication or their connection is more formal in nature. And I quizzed Brittany, our internal HR resource, what does she notice about this? And she said what happens with the remote workers is they tend to build a great relationship within their team. Mm-hmm. But then the struggle becomes getting them to connect outside of their team. And the challenge for us is, given we're a multidisciplinary offering, we want people to be connecting across divisions. Mm-hmm. It's one of the unique things that we have about our environment. It's one of the things that gives employees, I suppose, some deeper opportunity for insights. And so that is a lot harder for the remote workers who are getting to know their team really well. So we have to create opportunities for them to connect across divisions as well, outside of just the work that flows, like, because people will connect over work. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be more than that for them to identify the opportunities within the work as well.
Yeah, we've found that too. So our teams are structured mostly on geographic lines. So where are the clients that they're working on? They form close-knit teams, even though many of them haven't met in person, based on who they're interacting with all of the time. And then they're having other chats. So they're talking about their kids, what they did on the weekend, but they're not necessarily doing that in, we use Slack for team chat. They're not necessarily doing that across the whole company-wide Slack channels. It's more within their smaller teams. We do a few, so where we try and get that collaboration between the countries, because sometimes clients will have it. A lot of our clients will be selling into to the UK and then the US. So we need a bit of collaboration as well. But we found that a bit of a challenge.
Do you ever get them all together?
We tried to. So prior to COVID, we were doing a whole team retreat in the Philippines for everybody. And that had to get cancelled. And we have another one scheduled this November. We have done smaller retreats, but it wasn't for the entire team. It was for the leadership team. So we've done multiple meetups over the years. But this November, it will be our first entire team meetup in the Philippines, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that would be exciting. I mean, we struggle with that as well. And now that with our Sydney office as well, recently we did our leaders retreat, which was basically managers up. So we had about 34 people there, basically. But the whole objective was connection and collaboration. One of the things I enjoyed about that was calling it for what it was and just sort of saying, this is what we're going to get out of our time together, connection and collaboration. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily diving into accounting processes. Actually, please don't. But it was. I find those events really important for us to lay a foundation of connection. Because one of the things, I suppose a question for you, Merrill, is how do you get them to know each other to build upon the relationship? Because we find it easy with people that are working in the office with a team and then they go remote. Mm-hmm. But starting remote, we probably struggle with.
Yeah, so originally we used to do whole team activities. So it would be a Zoom party and it's karaoke or something like that. But that doesn't really help someone that's new if it's a big group, particularly if they're a bit shy or if they're a more junior team member. So something that we found helps is structuring one-on-one coffee meetups. And so everyone gets paired with someone. I think it's every 2 weeks or maybe it's once a month, but they have an opportunity to meet everyone in the team one-on-one over a period of time. And the feedback from that's been great, because in that one-on-one, they really get to know someone and their family and their interests, and then they feel comfortable and gradually get to know the full team. I've noticed that encourages new team members to participate more when it is that bigger group environment. And some of our team members in the Philippines have just taken it upon themselves to go and meet each other. Some of them happen to live nearby, so they'll go and do that one-on-one and go and have a coffee together or do something.
Yeah, good.
So did you have any learnings coming out? Was that the first offsite you've done with the managers?
No, we've done a few over the years. That was probably the first one where we specifically, because the last one we did was only 6 months ago, and that was directors only, because it was to set some strategy stuff. And the reason it was only 6 months ago was because COVID outbreak stopped us from doing it 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. And so we purposely wanted to get the connection. So it was the first time we sort of had such a narrow scope, I suppose, for it.
Something I touched on earlier is one of the challenges with remote work is training, particularly graduates and newer staff. Do you hire graduates at Business Depot?
Yeah, absolutely. They are all in the office because we find they need to learn within the office. But do you know what? I think they're happy with that. Like usually the grads, even learning what it's like to be in a workplace. So throwing them in a remote working environment as a grad, I can imagine there'd be challenges with that. So we do struggle with the hybrid workplace with training the grads. So typically if we've got managers who are working from home, if they're working from home and they're in the office a couple of days a week, we find that they can build rapport, and then working from home, they're just continuing the conversation through Slack or Zoom or whatever. As I said before, the Waller Day example, which we will do again, we will allow people to do again. But in that particular instance, we had a manager who was probably in a time zone that didn't suit managing team members as well as they could have. And we'll allow that person to do a Waller Day again because they've got the right intent, they've got the right idea, but we probably just need to have a few more guardrails around how we make that work.
Yeah, I think the graduate thing's interesting. I know if I was a young accountant again, I'd want to be in the office too. I remember learning so much, just observing conversations, the partners having a fee or a scope conversation with a client, and you can listen to that, or a manager's talking to someone about their billable hours. And you just learn so much with all of the interactions, or someone's explaining something to someone over there. And if I'm giving advice to young accountants, I'm normally saying optimize for learning in the early years. It's not about optimizing for your salary when you're 22 or for lifestyle, I don't think. It's optimizing for your career growth and trying to get around people where you can learn fast.
And the observation you made before, Meryl, is a really good one. What's the impact on the industry if we don't have as many people training grads straight out of university? There's already limited supply of, let's call them senior accountants who have had a few years experience and qualified accountants. What's it going to be as less and less people go to uni to even study accounting, and then less and less of them are going to have in-office training for us all to then recruit a few years down the track? I think the industry's got some real challenges in that regard.
I think it does too. And I'm part of CANZ Council, so I'm starting to see some initiatives through there about trying to get more students in high schools studying accounting, trying to make it more fashionable again. Apparently in the high schools, it's not as popular anymore, that tech and finance are more interesting. So try to change that perception and get accountants back out to high schools and talking about what we do as our day-to-day.
This is a bandwagon topic for me, Meryl, because my daughter finished grade 12 last year, and I think she said there was either 6 or 8 kids in her grade 12 class that even chose to do accounting. Mm. One of my boys, who's just started grade 10, he's chosen to do accounting as well. I didn't encourage him. He chose it all on his own. I think he probably chose it because he thought he might get a job easily at the end. But he said there's only like 6 or 7 kids in his grade as well that are doing accounting. But do you know what? He said to me the other day, we're still doing paper ledgers in the books, Dad. And I said, well, it's a good learning, I suppose, to understand. But the teachers are saying there's no jobs in accounting because the robots are taking them. The teachers don't want to be teaching accounting because they're still teaching stuff that we learned 30 years ago and they haven't moved with the times. So I heard some statistic the other day, I think it was QUT, the number of people studying accounting first year is 50% down. Dang. On pre-COVID.
Yeah, that does not bode well for hiring senior accountants in 5 years' time.
Not at all.
Some of that ledger stuff is relevant. I still sometimes draw it out, or in Excel do the T accounts.
T accounts? Yeah. Every day. No, not every day, but every now and then.
Yeah. So it's good theory, but there's definitely more interesting things that could be covered as well, and learning some of the software, learning Xero. There's a whole lot of things that could be interesting.
They still teach Maya, by the way.
Right. Oh, boy. I guess a related question to having lots of graduates in the office, have you ever had a situation where there's the younger staff who are in the office hungry to learn, but then the managers and the staff who would be typically training them want that remote work and they're at home with their families and maybe not as attentive to the graduates because they're balancing work and life? And if so, how did you manage it?
Yeah, and I think anyone who's got team management responsibility for grads or for those people that are in the office, I think they have to have some time in the office mm-hmm. because they do just happen to build a better rapport with the face-to-face and can train them and teach them things. Like you say, by listening into that phone call or being taken into that meeting that they just can't learn remotely.
Well, as we wrap up, I thought it would be interesting to pose a final question. What do you think firms who are 100% remote can learn from the hybrid model?
Well, I would probably go back to what is at the essence of Business Depot, and that is that culture, collaboration, and connection is still very important. And so, you know, whether people that are running their businesses with 100% remote workforce purposely create those events or create those opportunities to connect in person at some point in time.
Yeah, great. And if I was to flip that around and think about, well, what's something that works well in a remote first environment? I think it's attention to including everybody. So if it's Zoom first, or online meetings first. It sounds like you're doing that really well in trying to be inclusive when you do the team masters of people that are in the office and those that are dialing in. But I think that's a challenge and something that's not necessarily done well throughout the industry when it's that hybrid model of it feels like it's office first class citizens, remote second class citizens. And so try to make it feel equal for everybody and almost have that remote first lens. So if it's a meeting, well, how are we going to cater to those that are dialing in remotely?
And that is exactly the challenge, isn't it? Because you potentially are devaluing the in-office experience mm-hmm. by putting everybody sitting at desks next to each other onto Zoom.
I've heard of that as a solution, and then that may not be the best solution either, of forcing everybody to take the call remotely. But as you said, that devalues the in-office experience.
I'll share with you one little technology thing we're about to try. It's called a meeting owl, and it's a device that sits in the middle of the room. It's got multiple cameras on it and microphones on it, and it follows, so it's like an owl that twists its eyes around to see who's talking and shows that person. So we're going to try that mm-hmm. next.
Interesting. So, John, is there anything else, any final comments you have around remote work, hybrid work, in office?
Look, my overarching comment would be we're not nailing it. We've got traction to get, but we absolutely know we need to have more and more people that are working remotely. There is no doubt in my mind that the percentage will be going towards more remote working rather than in-office working, and there's a whole range of reasons for that. So we have to find a way to make that work and still deliver on the culture and connection and collaboration, which is at the essence of our business.
Amazing. So good to chat with you, John. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, where's the best place?
Oh, look, my mobile number's on the website, so businessdepot.com.au. Probably best don't leave a message on there or call my PA or shoot us an email, j.knight@businessdepot.com.au, on LinkedIn or Twitter, jak_knight. I'd be happy to hear from anybody and happy to share war stories, lessons learned, and all those types of things.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Meryl.
It was so good to have John on the show to explore hybrid and 100% remote working models for accounting firms. One of the big things I've learned from listening to John share his experience is that it really isn't one size fits all. For every firm, and even for each person within that firm, different arrangements are going to result in the best productivity, but also the best experience for those people. And a lot of it is about testing things, trying them out, figuring things out along the way, and learning and iterating. The example that stood out to me there was when John was talking about trialing having team members work overseas. And so a manager went overseas for a trip. Well, actually, it was more of a workation, but the time zone didn't work well with Australia and trying to manage staff. And as John said, that doesn't mean they're never going to do that again. But it does mean that next time they'll need to consider things around time zone and also if it's a manager going, what that means, what the impact is on their staff. So I really like that approach of trying things out and then trying to learn and iterate as you go. If you'd like to connect with John or find out more about Business Depot, check out the show notes. We'll have links in there. And if you'd like to get in touch with us or find out more about the podcast, head on over to lifestyleaccountant.co. See you next week.